I have seen the player who will inherit my place in Argentine football, and his name is Lionel Messi. Diego Maradona. Messi playing for Argentina in the iconic number 10 shirt.
In football, in this thing that we've invested so much time in following, he's the best we've seen. And to know that that might be ending, this might be the last time you see him, I think that's almost unimaginable.
He's the best player in the history.
One thing missing from me was the World Cup.
This was it, really, for him.
He knew that he was probably the last big shot at the World Cup. A dream that's been elusive over so many years.
It's Germany! What a night for the world's best individual to show.
Argentina are out.
That's the World Cup for Messi. It's destiny.
BBC Sport presents Lionel Messi, Destiny. A bird's eye view of the stadium in Kazan, Russia, 2018.
Quarterfinals.
A defeated Messi walks off the pitch with his teammates. A photograph captures the moment and the mood.
In terms of delivering a World Cup, the Football Association had a single objective: find a manager that could work with Messi.
An aeroplane sporting an image of Messi. Marcela Mora Iarrojo, journalist.
Argentina has a wonderfully kind of varied relationship between national team and manager, but usually the manager has quite a protagonic role as some sort of personality or character, whether it's Menotti chain-smoking and being intellectual, or Bilardo being ridiculously strict, Passarella being authoritarian, or Basile being incredibly kind of libertarian. But Scaloni, it's almost like we didn't really know that much about him when he arrived. Most people were furious and against his appointment because it felt like that job should go to a character. And it just went to, you know, a guy who was sort of anonymous.
Emiliano Martinez, Argentina goalkeeper.
He brought togetherness in the group. That's the hardest part to manage Argentina, because you always are going to have talented players. It's how to manage them. It's like having a Ferrari, and if you don't know how to drive it, then you're going to crash in every corner. That's the only explanation I can give to Scaloni. He knows exactly how to drive a Ferrari.
Alexis McAllister, Argentina midfielder. He knows our philosophy as a country. He surrounded Leo with a good team and made him feel good. When the best player in the world feels good, everything is easier. Claudio Tapia, Argentina FA president. We were coming from a sporting failure. Because we had the best player, we thought we would win everything. But football is a team sport. During a difficult time, he took over the senior team. That gave us the chance to see that he was the coach we all dreamt of.
Que en él teníamos el técnico de la selección argentina que todos queríamos y que soñábamos.
Guillem Balaguer, Messi biographer.
And it all starts with a conversation that Scaloni had with Messi. What do you want to do? What kind of player should we have? What would it work for you? I think it could be this, but what do you think? And it was an equal conversation. And you have to do that when you've got the best player in the world. You have to do that.
Lionel Scaloni, Argentina manager. He's incredibly competitive, so it was easy to convince him. He also had a team who would do anything to help him win.
But he had a clear idea that they had connected Scaloni and Leo in a way that I don't think managers in the past have done that.
July 2021, Paris, France. A speeding train, then a boat emerging from under a bridge alongside the Eiffel Tower. Traffic driving along an avenue. A smiling Messi at a colourful and noisy fans' reception for his signing to Paris Saint-Germain.
The news that has the whole football world talking.
It was a very complex day. 3 days, 4 days earlier, he was crying. He didn't want to leave Barcelona. You could sense that he was a little bit out of place. The psychological effects of a change like that are huge.
Messi holding a PSG shirt with his name on it and the number 30.
When you have to leave one play that you've been for so long, it's not just about a football team, but it's also about your friends and your family, your kids. Surely it was tough. But of course, then the pressure was there. As you can see on the pitch, his first season probably was not how Messi expected to be.
But little by little, at the end of that first season, everything was clicking. He was flying in Europe, he was flying in Ligue 1, and with Argentina, it was working so well because everybody understood we want Leo to be the World Cup winner. So he went to Qatar, well ready.
Mobile phone footage of the Argentina players boarding the airplane. Now in the cabin, the person with the camera says, "I'm filming. Smile. Smile. Smile.
Lo estamos filmando. Sonrían.
Hola, papi."
Heading into Qatar, it's the first time for a long time I think Argentina got into a World Cup as either favourites or second favourites.
Hola, mi rey.
And they're on this 36-game unbeaten run. They'd won the Copa America the previous year, and that was hugely significant because they hadn't won a senior tournament since 1993. The curse was lifted.
The skyscrapers of Doha, Qatar. Pablo Zabaleta, former Argentina defender.
The team before the World Cup had been in an incredible run, and I think we all had that feeling that, oh, we're going to go into the World Cup and we're going to smash every single team. I think even for Messi, this World Cup was special, and he wanted to win this World Cup at all costs.
The opening match for Argentina against Saudi Arabia. Captain Messi leads his team out.
Like, no, I want to leave everything on the pitch. I want to carry this team to the final again. I cannot miss that chance.
In his own words, Lionel Messi begins the journey to win the World Cup at the fifth and final time of asking.
It was like the last chance, the last dance about the World Cup. So I think that Messi was feeling like confidence. He knew what he wants.
Messi scores a penalty, then celebrates.
Argentina were like expecting good results, were with a lot of hope in this team. They thought that this could be the chance.
Argentina in control, in the lead, courtesy of a Lionel Messi penalty.
Saudi Arabia looked like an ideal team to kick off the campaigning style. But we got nervous. The players started to panic.
Al-Malki's ball through. Al-Shiri has equalised for Saudi Arabia.
They did the impossible.
Al-Abid, and they're all at sea suddenly here, Argentina, and they're now behind.
Saudi Arabia celebrate the 53rd minute goal. Al-Abid does a somersault, then his teammates jump on him as they congratulate him. The Argentina players and fans look stunned. Martinez.
You know, in a boxing match, they knock you out.
Dazzling, shimmering lights.
And we couldn't react. We lost a fight.
It was an extraordinary match, really. Saudi Arabia had some incredible energy and was absolutely kicking lumps out of the Argentinian players right throughout, including Messi. And, you know, what did they have? About three shots, I think, in the whole game, but managed an incredible victory.
After the game, we were all in shock. The players were in shock. Argentina got to Qatar without conceding many goals. And suddenly we conceded two against, the Saudis.
This is one of the greatest World Cup shocks in history. For those fans in the white and blue of Argentina, total disbelief.
Saudi Arabia fans enjoying the moment.
It put a huge dampener, I would expect, in an Argentinian hopes, having gone into the tournament so confident and then to lose against one of the weakest nations in the tournament.
It meant to be easy, you know, it meant to be like, just carry on what we were doing. It was the hardest night of my life after that. I couldn't sleep. I was afraid of getting knocked out in my first World Cup. I was afraid of why it's happening.
I think we all needed, like, feet on the ground, lads, you know, like, this is the World Cup. Anything can happen.
Then I saw Leo coming out and speaking to every single broadcaster.
Stop. Everywhere.
Repeating the same sentence. Stick with us.
We're better than this.
We're not going to let you down. Stick with us.
We're better than this.
We're not going to let you down. Stick with us.
We're better than this.
We're not going to let you down. Wow, I said, wow. When things didn't go our way in the past, Leo would look sad and look down. But this time was a different Leo, you know? He was the first one to believe.
One of the main strengths of that team is how they came through those moments.
After that, Scaloni gave a press conference saying, look, it's only a game. My brother's been calling, weeping, everyone's weeping, and really, we all need to kind of turn it down a notch.
Scaloni says, history shows that win or lose, tomorrow life goes on. It's better to think positively and just see it as a game of football. It makes you more relaxed, and the players needed that. McAllister says, Leo and the management spoke the perfect words for the press, the people, and for us. Our leader is very important, and nobody is better than Leo. Flashes go off as Messi leaves the stadium to board the team bus. Scaloni says, it was essential to win our next two games.
The population was on tenterhooks for any tidbit of mood and emotional well-being of the squad, because after Saudi Arabia there was such a depleted sense of, oh, we were all so hyped up and now this is going to be over by Saturday.
The group table, with Saudi Arabia on 3 points, Mexico and Poland on 1 point, and Argentina with no points. Mexico, game two. A determined-looking Messi runs out onto the pitch with his team. Jonathan Wilson, author of Angels with Dirty Faces.
I think in an odd way, the defeat to Saudi Arabia actually did them good. And I think maybe if you do go unbeaten for that long, you do... Complacency is maybe the wrong word, but you lose a bit of a hardness that you need. And obviously, if you've gone 36 games unbeaten, you don't want to change too much. But what it allowed Scaloni to do, after that game, he had to change stuff, and he could bring in McAllister and Alvarez and Fernandez, three players in their early 20s, who hadn't been there at the beginning of the run. And the three of them were all absolutely critical in terms of getting them on the right tracks.
Scaloni was very proactive to change two or three players to go into this must-win game. One mistake and you go home.
Every minute could have been the last minute. This reflected in an incredible sense that it was all or nothing.
We lose, we out.
Half time, 0-0. The teams walk off the pitch. Messi in the blue and white stripes of Argentina.
They were bad in the first half against Mexico. You could see all the doubts that had been there in that last half hour against the Saudis. All the same problems, everybody very anxious.
I was sat next to Simeone, and I will never forget that half-time. We look at each other thinking, oh, that's going to be tough. You could really see that the tension was there.
You could hold it and break it. It was there, it was obvious, it was touchable. It was such a poor performance that you thought, it's too young a team, maybe they just don't know how to deal with this pressure.
Scaloni says it was one of the most important moments of the World Cup.
But at halftime, Messi again gave everybody confidence because he said, we can do this. We're not playing well here, but it's about winning. We can do this. I mean, we're better than them.
Messi leads the team out.
I'm sure that we're going to win. But you need to wait for someone to get in the ball and produce a moment of magic.
The World Cup turns. on Messi getting that half a yard of space, if that. He has to do it. There's nobody else to do it.
Messi for range! Argentina has saved it!
It was a moment of relief.
Jubilant Argentina fans.
We just charmed life, celebrating like I was playing again.
Messi, eyes closed.
Suddenly, the weight is lifted. The threat of going out in the group stage is lifted. And I think this time the supporting cast, particularly the three younger players, McAllister, Alvarez and Fernandez, were able to step up and support him.
Scaloni, he understood that this could be Messi's last World Cup. So I need a group of players surrounded Messi. Every one of them has to work 120% for Messi, because when he's on the ball, he has to make a difference for that. I think he was really clever on that. They were running almost twice as much for Messi.
There were so many similarities to this Argentinian team to the one that I played against in 86 with Maradona. Not many superstars, but much better than people give them credit for. You've got McAllister, who came out of nowhere. You've got Alvarez. They were tough at the back and had Martinez in goal. So I think the young players had to step up. And their work ethic was exemplary.
It shouldn't take that long to realise that when you've got a genius, you've got to treat him differently. But in football, there is big egos. And the guys that you take into the national side are the geniuses of their teams. So try to tell them now to actually, can you put that down? Because there's only one that is a genius here. In the past, that didn't work because there were big players that wanted to make their impact and did not want to hand over total authority to one person. But you're talking about players in this group that admire Messi, that felt the responsibility of getting Messi and them, but first Messi, his first World Cup.
And Scaloni saw that. Have Julian Alvarez, I got McAllister, I got Enzo Fernandez, that when I gave them a chance, oh, they were incredible.
Argentina are second in the group. Poland, game three.
The eyes of the world firmly fixed on Lionel Messi. He carries his country's hopes of progression again. Chesney denies Lionel Messi.
Against Poland, when Messi misses the penalty, it's fine. He was in such a perfect mental state that once Mexico was won, it was like, we're going to be fine. And he felt in that game that it was when the youngsters kind of stood up and said, we can be counted.
Scaloni says they're confident players, they hold their nerve, they're not affected by the atmosphere of the game, and that was key for us. McAllister's at home.
You would have thought a Brighton player would be a key player in the World Cup. Nobody in England, nobody in Argentina. Probably not McAllister himself.
McAllister says, I arrived with a lot of confidence.
Before the World Cup, Alexis was not in the starting 11. But the important thing in Alexis, I think, that he could help in a lot of roles, was a very good player in the perfect moment.
He's a complete midfielder. He was doing everything for that team. The link-up with Messi, Enzo, Alexis was incredible with Di Maria. Like, they've been playing together for, I don't know, 5-6 years.
Scaloni says he showed us something that we didn't know about him. He doesn't feel pressure. It's like he's playing in his back garden. McAllister wearing the number 10 shirt. To play with my national team is extremely important. My dad was so close to playing the 1994 World Cup. When we didn't know if I would make the squad, he told me to do everything to make myself available, because playing in the World Cup is unique. It all happened so fast, I wasn't expecting it. For me, it's a huge opportunity to play at a World Cup.
Copa del Mundo, no?
McAllister scoring against Poland.
Alexis McAllister of Brighton had his first ever international goal, and what a time to score it!
It was a very special day, scoring my first goal with my family there watching. There were so many special moments during the World Cup, but that was one of the most important.
The team was not Messi dependent. We had other options. If the opposition just put two players on Messi or three players on Messi, then that would create other, more space for other players. The respect that Messi generate on his teammates create these moments of magic.
Fernandes. Oh, what a hit! Alvarez!
Julian Alvarez, Argentina forward. I was obviously hopeful, but I didn't know until the team was announced. Poland was my first game in the starting lineup. Scoring a goal made me feel more confident. And we had to win to make it into the last 16.
Argentina and Lionel Messi's dream of emulating Diego Maradona of 36 years ago is still alive.
After that win against Mexico, then Poland, I think the team were growing, you know, like in confidence.
The smiling players.
It seems like now I see the Argentina team that I saw before the World Cup.
I don't know if I can explain what happened with this team. I think that sometimes some magical things happen, you know, about people that are there. And I think that Scaloni was one of the most important keys of this team. He understand that it was very important, the human part, the family spirit that he created.
Sophie Martinez, TV Publica reporter. Qatar University, Doha. An illuminated welcome sign and palm trees. Then Messi and the players arriving. McAllister says everything was perfect. We felt at home. We played truco cards and drank mate tea, even Argentine meat.
I think for all Argentinian people, if you have mate, truco, and beautiful barbecue, you're so happy. You don't need more. You don't need more in life. And I think these three things is something that for us is like a religion.
Y nada, pasábamos el tiempo así.
We used to love the barbecues.
There was much press coverage on the amazing amounts of Argentinian meat that were flown over, 2,000 kilograms of meat.
With 6-7 barbecues.
In 1986, Diego Maradona's dad making the asados is a kind of crucial, emblematic part of the family mood of the squad. When Messi did join the Argentina squad that Scaloni had built, the younger players, who were a little bit in awe of Messi, said, would it be all right to just knock on his bedroom door and say, do you want to drink some mate and play truco? And that's how the ice was broken.
And there are moments that are for the players, only for the players. There is where the magic begins.
We always say we're not the most talented national team because we're watching different nations. They had better players and better squad than us. But the togetherness that we had, no one had.
The next match.
So Argentina expects Australia dreams to the business end of the tournament.
Australia, last 16.
And it's a different competition. The stakes are much higher, the jeopardy is much greater, the pressure builds. But that's when the great players come to the fore. That's when you find out who's world class, who's going to stand up.
Australia was one of those games, like, a bit similar like with Saudi Arabia. We know that we are better than them, we have better players, but be careful because they don't have nothing to lose.
Messi gets a return pass in the box.
McAllister. Messi!
He scores.
It had to be! Just when his country needed him.
Messi crosses himself, then points heavenward. Argentina 2, Australia 1.
And the two-time winners are into the quarterfinals.
In a country with 140% inflation a year, we bring 70,000 people to Qatar. I don't know how, but everybody gets to the World Cups.
Christian Martin, journalist.
People mortgage houses, sell assets, get loans, all sorts of things to be there.
From the happy fans to gliding over a city and a train passing through.
Generally speaking, in Argentina, there is a climate of hardship, hyperinflation, there is economic instability. Just before the World Cup kicked off, my brother and his mates did this kind of ad hoc poll asking random people in the street what would they prefer, economic stability or winning the World Cup. Some people were saying, well, economic stability, how long does that last? But the World Cup is forever.
Maradona's World Cup.
I see this with this team. We were all together with the same energy and we won something all together.
We don't expect football to change anything about the reality, but we all want just this little bit of joy for a bit.
Celebrating the win, the Argentina players are jumping up and down on the pitch in front of the fans. They sing along with them. Messi points as he sings along, while some of the players are swinging their shirts above their heads.
For the global south, this was the first World Cup ever to take place in summer. So the mood of the squad in Qatar and the people in Argentina was completely in sync throughout the whole tournament. And that's a really odd thing to have happened, but it genuinely did happen.
The sense of belonging with our shirt is very important, and that relationship was repaired from all those years of sadness, losing Copa America finals, Messi's tears, done and dusted, put in the past. And Messi and the team and Scaloni and the fans felt that, I think we kind of ready at the right time.
Netherlands, quarter final. The players are singing on the team coach.
The country, the fans, the players went on this emotional journey. And against the Netherlands, which was a quarterfinals, it was a huge release of pent-up anxiety, hope, dreams.
A flashbulb as Messi walks by.
They've got this history with the Netherlands going back to the 74 World Cup where the Dutch beat them and really humiliated them in 74. But 78, that final, there's a period when the Dutch are left on the pitch alone, so they've got the whole stadium going at them just to intimidate them. And that sort of lingered all the way through. They've got the brilliant quarterfinal in 98 when there was two red cards. And then in 2014, when Van Gaal, as coach, had had De Jong man-mark Messi and they marked him out of the game. So, yeah, there was a lot of reasons for Argentina to particularly want to win that game.
McAllister says they tried to play off the pitch, and that wasn't right.
The Dutch said things, they provoked. Van Gaal said that they were confident to go into penalties, underestimating Emiliano. And say the worst thing that you can say to Leo is when Argentina defends, they defend with 10 players.
Argentina is a country that loves to find the slight that they can get itself worked up about, to feel the bronca, as they would call it, the inner fury, and they used that.
It fired me up, certainly did, even to Messi as well.
McAllister says, attacking Leo and Emi, you shouldn't do that to Argentinians.
And Leo answered on the pitch.
Messi. Lovely drop of the shoulders, then half a yard of space, back it goes in the Malena!
I think you saw in the quarterfinal the difference between the Messi of 2022 and 2014. In 2014, you could mark him out of the game because he played a much more orthodox role. By 2022, he was barely involved. He was this sort of sprite existing on the periphery. You can mark a man, you can't mark a ghost.
Messi composes himself before expertly scoring from the penalty spot.
It's two! It's his tournament! Is it written in the stars?
Messi cups his hands to his ears in front of the Dutch bench.
He celebrates a goal with this gesture, which is a very symbolic goal celebration.
He played the ears to Van Gaal, you know?
I can't hear you. What were you saying? Say it again. In Argentina, you recognize it as being first manifested by Riquelme.
There is an edge to Messi. Leo speaks to Riquelme a lot, and Riquelme still felt badly treated by Lou Van Gaal in his time at Barcelona. That was not forgotten. All that is playing in the mind of Leo Messi.
It just kind of grew the whole net of footballing references that were being suddenly evoked on that one game.
It looked like it was going to be a mundane kind of 2-0 victory. And then in the last few minutes, it just turned.
That's a good ball in, and a very, very good header, and the Dutch are back in it.
They panicked a little bit, Argentina.
Do or die now for the Netherlands. It all comes down to this.
The last free kick, I was next to Ferdinand. I was so nervous because last free kick, you know, let's not concede. And I will never forget Ferdinand filming that free kick.
If he scores here, this place will go bananas.
Oh my God!
Sava! Woo! I couldn't believe it!
Sorry, man, I'm sorry.
I didn't know what to do. I just went to the toilet.
And then it got really intense, didn't it? There was so much aggression out there.
Paredes just kicking the ball to the bench of Holland.
Photos of the confrontation. McAllister says it was not how we wanted to play, but it started off the pitch. If the opponent plays rough, you've got to play rough as well. That's the good thing about this team.
I think we like a bit of that, as long as it doesn't go too far, which I don't think it did.
It goes to penalties.
And obviously, you know, the Argentinian goalkeeper is quite a character and one you absolutely want on your side when you're in a penalty shootout, that's for sure.
We had Emiliano, which is our ace.
He saves.
It's very difficult to explain what the people feel with him, you know?
Goalkeepers, they have their own personality. They're different to the rest.
He learned straight in Stoke on a Wednesday night, like they say in England, because it's true. Emiliano was sent on loan everywhere, and he became an icon.
He can take the pressure and enjoy it.
Oh, it's saved again! That's an amazing piece of goalkeeping.
Well, still having goosebumps.
Martinez is watching the video of the penalty shootout. He smiles.
For me, that was a brilliant moment, and yeah, it was his moment. It was all about him.
And Lucien Ramos and Argentina are in the semi-finals.
An emotional Martinez.
No, I was dead on the floor there. Someone hacked me and said, "Oh, I can't believe you just done it again. You saved us again." And then when I look up, it was Leo. Now, just that picture, I always have in my heart.
Photos of Messi hugging him. Now Messi's clenching his fist and celebrating with the fans.
For people that we know Messi from long time, we all know that he's the leader. Of course, that then, because he's a bit quiet, people think, no, he's not a proper leader. But no, they're wrong. And I think Messi, in that World Cup especially, he was more than that.
The players gather around Messi in a huddle.
What we haven't seen before from Messi is those kind of maybe reactions on the pitch. He was always a bit angry.
Messi smiling.
Messi was showing signs of being quite confrontational.
A moment with Van Gaal.
There's a lot of this, people talking. He goes and talks to Van Gaal and Davids, saying, you've been talking too much. It's like, I'm looking at him, and I know other people close to him, it's like, wow, Leo, you know.
Scaloni says he's a born winner. There's a reason Leo's won everything he has in football.
And you can't stay on the level that long that Leo has without being incredibly competitive. He's a winner. He's a winner.
And then in the tunnel on the way to the changing rooms where he's doing his Argentinian TV post-match, the number 19, as he calls him, walks by and Messi interrupts the live bit to say, anda pa allá, bobo.
Mira, bobo. Que mira, bobo.
You go away, you fool, you know.
Anda pa allá, bobo.
Oh, you silly.
Go away, bobo.
Anda pa allá, bobo.
Tranquilo, Leo. Rosario boy style.
Within hours, there were T-shirts, mugs, fridge magnets.
McAllister says that's what people were asking of Leo. He was accused of not having the attitude of Maradona.
Suddenly, everyone among the press there were texting and writing, has Messi been taken over by the spirit of Maradona? At last, finally, Maradona speaks through Messi, and my epiphany was to think, no! Maradona would have invented especially obscene and offensive insults specifically for the number 19. It's very mild, bobo. It's the kind of thing someone's grandmother might say.
But for Argentina, that was a sign. That thing that was missing, why they couldn't fully fall in love with Messi. By seeing that, it was like, yeah, he's one of ours.
We are more aggressive probably than the team that he had before in the national team. So he probably becoming a little bit like us, you know, that bad boy.
By the time the Qatar World Cup kicked off, Messi was incredibly comfortable being Messi. For many years, there was enormous pressure on him to perform or be or behave to the expectations of some nebulous demand to be more Argentinian, to be more passionate, to be more like Maradona. But he broke free, whether it's Maradona dying or him being able to leave Barcelona and see that the world didn't stop. Something shifted that liberated him.
You can be the best player in the world, but unless you link somehow to your kid, to the dreams that he had, it just doesn't fully work. And what Messi has managed to do is to reconnect with that guy that had a dream that was a long time ago. He said it, I want to win the World Cup. That's the Messi that we saw in Qatar too.
In the players' tunnel, Messi high-fives the children. Croatia, semi-final. The players link arms during the national anthem.
He must have realised that the clock's ticking. He must have known that, actually, if I'm going to do this, I've got to do it. And that was the thing about watching Messi at this World Cup. Every game that I saw him, I was thinking, is this the last time I see him?
Archive footage of Messi in action.
In football, in this thing that we've invested so much time, so much emotional energy, so much intellectual energy in following, he's the best we've seen at this thing you've cared about for so long. And to know that that might be ending, this might be the last time you see him. Yeah, that for me, for fans, for journalists, that was a huge thing. So what it must be for him, I think that's almost unimaginable.
Leo, for a while now, has understood that he's a player of moments, but the best moments in the World Cup were the ones in which he was involved.
Messi takes the ball on the right wing.
Messi. Guardiola's got back at him. Will he be able to stay with him? No. Messi gets through! And Argentina has three! Alvarez has got his second! Made by the master!
He knows he's not going to be the one pace, but how can he? Well, by just creating mini battles on the way to the last pass.
Messi's skills.
Genius.
And it Argentina to return here on Sunday in a bid to be crowned world champions.
Spalloni says Leo knew that he wanted to win when he's been called upon to defend the thing he loves, to show his commitment to the team. He's done it every time. Having hugged Messi, Scaloni looks proud on the pitch. Sophie Martinez is watching her interview with Messi. She shakes his hand and he's smiling. The World Cup final is coming, and although we all want to win, there is something that nobody can take away from you. You touched all of our lives, and that to me is greater than any World Cup. You gave us all great happiness. Thank you, Captain. Messi replies, "Thank you. I felt people's love throughout all this time. I believe this team was an example from beginning to end."
Amazing, was like magical. The World Cup, the football, he's a so big passion since I was a child. And to have the opportunity to be next to him in that special moment before the final of a World Cup, I just want to say to him that it was enough. It's gonna be an amazing story without winning too. He already did something for our country, so powerful, so powerful. He's like an example for all the tiles in Argentina.
Messi standing still, taking in the moment, while his teammates are jumping up and down. A mural of Messi as a boy with a football, then a home video of him wearing a number 10 shirt and playing keepy uppy.
It's wonderful to see that career panned out over two decades. So wonderful, to the point I think that most of the world wanted Messi to win the World Cup. It wasn't Argentina favourites, it was just Messi. We want Messi to win it.
A montage of Messi playing as a youth and in his professional career. He shows off his dribbling, balance and shooting skills.
We all knew that's the World Cup for Messi. It's destiny.
The boyhood mural.
It's only one more step to make the dream reality.
France, World Cup final. In slow motion, Messi's arriving with his teammates.
Messi have found the perfect mental state to win a World Cup.
Many players said it before the World Cup. We want to win it because of him.
We all know what he means to football for the whole world.
I went into the game super confident, you know, we were dancing and singing on the bus on the way to the stadium.
Scaloni is walking in. It was a unique and incomparable experience, something I'll never forget. Messi lifts his head, then smiles before hugging Mbappe.
I think with international football, games can become much more about one individual against another individual. And so obviously this was Messi v Mbappe.
The Sorcerer and the Apprentice. And that's exactly what we got.
And the beauty of it all is that there are many stories that could be told, but we don't know which one will be written.
Messi joins in with the impassioned singing of the national anthem.
And what a game that was.
Yeah. It's the greatest World Cup final has ever been.
The best game I've ever seen.
Greatest international game I think I've witnessed.
In a football game, you talk about drama, action, emotion. It was everything that you could expect for a football game.
Argentina were by a massive margin the better side in the first half.
Down goes Di Maria. Penalty, Argentina. Messi scores.
Gary Lineker.
Argentina all over them, all over the pitch.
Totally one-sided.
Messi turns it out to Alvarez, who gets it through. And that's McAllister looking at Di Maria.
In slow motion, the ball reaches Di Maria and he scores. 36th minute and 2-0 to Argentina. McAllister joins in the celebrations as Di Maria slides onto his backside.
And you thought that was it?
Di Maria looks skyward.
And then
10 minutes to go, breakaway, penalty.
Now Di Maria looks pensive on the bench. Mbappe steps up and scores. He runs and grabs the ball.
It all changed
after Messi has given the ball away.
Messi's been robbed by Koeman.
Messi smiles ruefully.
Mbappe gets the return!
Mbappe scores.
Oklahoma!
2-2 in the 81st minute.
You're thinking then, Messi's blown his own World Cup final.
2-2. But again, you could see the players' faces.
Fernandez gestures to the crowd. We just had to keep going. That was our mentality. It was the final, so we just had to keep going. The game wasn't over. I was substituted off, and you suffer even more from the bench.
And then the extra time, I think, was the best extra time I've ever seen. It was just madness.
108th minute, Argentina attacking.
There's Messi. Messi wants it again. Lloris in the way. Well, the referee has pointed to the middle and said goal.
Messi kneels and the players rush to him.
And then you thought, that must be it now.
There is another change around here, a French penalty.
More drama to come and another penalty.
Mbappe kisses the ball, then makes the goalkeeper dive the wrong way.
Mbappe is the man! A hat-trick in the biggest game of all!
And then even after that, it could have been one. It was like one in...
Colomboan is in! Martinez with the save!
Oh my God, he was free. That's a good one.
And they went straight down the other end. And
here they go again! Martinez waits in the middle! That had to be!
It was one of the most exciting, thrilling, tremendous games I've ever seen.
And there's more to come, because the 22nd World Cup final has gone to penalties.
In many ways, the most impressive thing about Argentina at the World Cup was they had the mental resilience to keep coming back. So they did it in the quarterfinal, and the same thing in the final, twice. It was the famous Alf Ramsey line after 90 minutes for 66 final. You've won it once, now go out there and win it again. Well, this was, you've won it twice, now go out there and win it again.
When it came down to penalties, we had Emiliano Martinez, who... he's got that skill in a penalty shootout. You know, it's an arm wrestling. Emiliano will put the team ahead, so the pressure was on them all the time.
The first one, I didn't do anything, like nothing, just good luck, and that's it.
Mbappe will go first for France, and Mbappe will score for France three times on the spot.
Messi steps forward.
Whatever you can do, I will endeavour to do as well, is Lionel Messi's message.
He strokes it in.
And he rolls it in. Well, that's stylish. That's incredible. At this time, this occasion.
A bird's eye view of the pitch.
The next one is the one, you know.
Saved by Martinez!
He leaps and punches the air.
The first cheers are Argentina's.
I think that he enjoyed penalties. Such an strange personality that he says, like, here I am, now is my moment. penalties at my time.
He's bouncing the ball.
The third one is a pressure pen. That's the one that I need to do something, you know.
Martinez has thrown the ball away. He's done that before. This is all part of his penalty routine. Make them work. Unbelievable.
Martinez dancing behind the goal line, then setting himself for the penalty before diving to his right.
Wide!
A shoulders dance.
People say, oh, do you practice that dance? No, I never dance the way I dance after the second pen I miss. Never in my life. You know, that's me sometimes. I'm a child on the pitch. I don't see what's going to happen next, you know.
A photo of him doing the dance, then with his arms raised.
He became like a specialist penalty saver. Like he did against Holland, he saved the first ones against the French. And that put the pressure on the French. They miss, we score. They miss, we score. And it came down to Gonzalo Montiel, you know, to deliver that last kick.
The number four makes his way forward.
This for the World Cup.
The referee watches as Montiel puts the ball on the spot. He takes a few steps back, then a deep breath before starting his run-up. Number 22 crosses himself, then runs forward as the victory is sealed.
It's Argentina!
Having sunk to his knees, Messi is engulfed by his teammates. Dybala runs to Martinez and embraces him before flopping face first onto the grass. Di Maria is emotional and celebrates with his teammates. Scaloni says, I knew what we had achieved. I was watching my players, my coaching staff, my people crying with happiness. I was a front row spectator, just watching them.
Para mí fue espectador de lujo estar sentado en el banco y verlos a ellos.
I cried a little bit. It was mad. I've never thought about living a moment like this.
I was only 1 year old when Argentina won in 86. At the age of 38, I can see that I saw Argentina win the World Cup.
In the streets, in the homes, in the hearts. It was absolutely fantastic.
It's hard to put into words how you feel. I don't know if your head's so full of thoughts or if it's totally empty. The players celebrate with their families. Now the golden World Cup trophy is sitting on its plinth. It consists of two human figures holding up the earth. Messi walks up the steps, then kisses and rubs the trophy, savoring the moment. The fans watch in expectation as Messi then dances along in front of the players with the World Cup. A jubilant Messi holds the trophy above his head and the real celebrations begin. The players jump up and down as spectacular fireworks go off inside and outside of the stadium.
We were waiting this moment that Messi has that trophy in his hands.
A photo of Messi sitting on Aguero's shoulders, holding the World Cup. Now behind the scenes, Messi's being escorted while he holds the World Cup. Officials are with him and other staff. A video of the players celebrating in the changing rooms. Messi enters with the cup, then dances on the table. Another player gets onto the table too. Messi puts the World Cup down, then jumps up and down and swings his arm.
We were talking to each other, drinking mate, drinking champagne, singing all the way to Argentina.
The celebrations continue, and soon the players and coaching staff are dancing along the corridor.
It was just happiness, you know, and everyone enjoyed it.
Photos of the players, then they're on an open-top bus. Photos of Messi and Scaloni posing with the World Cup on the airplane.
5 million people fill the streets of Buenos Aires. The Argentinian society became divided, you know? And I think this World Cup kind of brought everybody together.
Because of the happiness. Everybody was happy. Everybody!
Spontaneous parties in the street, then the massive crowd in the city centre.
When do you think that happened in your life? In your country? With what? In my country, with a World Cup. Everyone is happy. It's like that. I swear.
You're seeing in front and you see, like, ants, you know? White and blue ants. And you can see people on top of the trees. It's just lovely, lovely.
We are crazy about football, so imagine a celebration like that in Buenos Aires. It's been real chaos.
Alvarez says, I get goosebumps when I think about it. There are people who will never understand it. I don't know if we'll ever see it again.
Argentina's never had a moment like that.
Gliding over the crowd, a huge flag with Maradona on it, the Argentina flag waving in the breeze, then the towering national monument, the obelisk of Buenos Aires. On street level, dancing and fireworks. You're part of history. Do you feel it? Scaloni says, no, I don't think about it, to be honest.
No.
I don't wake up thinking, I'm world champion, every day. But seeing how people celebrate it, that's enough for me. Thinking about myself is second place to that. A photo of Scaloni with his medal and touching the World Cup.
The third star is there. These lads are part of history.
This bunch, led by Messi, they are so different and influential of the way Argentina plays international football.
That group of players, that group of people, they're all special.
It's not just about winning the World Cup, it's what we've done in the process, you know, beating the champions in the Copa America after 28 years, beating the champions of Europe at Wembley in a good style of football, and beating the World Cup champions in Qatar after losing the first game. It will be down to one of the best World Cups ever.
It's mad to think that I'm a World Cup champion, that I won the World Cup alongside Messi.
The light shone on him just performing.
Whatever has happened in that final or even in the tournament, for me, Messi's now indisputable.
The celebrations on the night of the World Cup final. A smiling Messi leads the crowd in the singing.
Messi's legacy would be to be as big as Maradona in the pantheon of the football gods.
He has to be up there as the number one, and then the rest.
He's won absolutely everything now in the game.
Messi has won so much for 15 years. Nobody in the world ever has done that.
You get to your fifth World Cup, and finally, after all the misfortune, all the pratfalls, everything that's gone wrong, finally you win it. It's the perfect ending.
There's nobody that compares with Lionel Messi.